However you self-identify, you are welcome and honored and celebrated. We are a center that is committed and dedicated to teaching spiritual principles and spiritual practices, hence our theme this month, which has been various spiritual practices. Today we're going to look at meditation. So I'm glad you're here. Welcome. And to hear more about us, listen now to our practitioners and board members as they tell you our Declaration of Principles. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. Practitioners, we have two of us in the room right now. And you know, a practitioner is someone who knows this teaching, who knows spiritual principle in a way that they've been able to put it to work in their lives and bring about great change. And once they demonstrate that, if they choose to become licensed, then there's a little more training. And then they demonstrate that they can do this work for themselves and other people. So our practitioners are here for you. Whatever your issues, whatever your questions, whatever you feel like you've been working on and you get stuck in, that's a great time to call in the practitioner. I know sometimes in my own life when I'm so buried in the issues that I can't see the light or see the way through or see the truth, that's when I work with my prayer partners and practitioners to lift me out of that place, because it's just a matter of remembering the truth sometimes. Sometimes it's a little harder work than that. But today we have a practitioner with us who is one of our flagship practitioners. She's been around and been helping this center and people for a long time. We're very grateful to have Judy Ailey with us. Thank you, Judy, for being here.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bob. Yes. Glad to be here. Good morning, everyone in the room, out there, around the world, everywhere that we are, right? It's great to be back up here to share my thoughts with you. You know, today we're talking about common sense meditation, and it'll be very interesting to hear what Dr. Bob has to say about this. You know, the idea of meditation being paired with the words common sense, it's an interesting idea. It's not necessarily something that I would put together in that way. I think that a lot of times we have an idea of meditation as being ethereal or mystical, that experience that moves us kind of beyond common sense. And yes, sometimes meditation can be that otherworldly, mystical experience, but you know, when I started really thinking about this, I started thinking, but actually, meditation is a kind of a common sense kind of way that makes perfect sense to me, that as I do my prayer and my treatment work, I affirm and know that there is only one mind and that we are part of this one mind, and that common sense meditation is taking the time to be quiet and to know the truth of yourself, the truth of myself, to renew that connection to the one goodness that is always there. But sometimes we get distracted or we forget the truth of who we are. I really think that's why we come together every week or whatever you do to help you remind yourself of that truth. This inner realization of the presence of perfection, of spiritual perfection, is the truth of who we are. And if we take this time to renew this connection on a daily basis, to remember that the one mind is God, which is within us. And as we know this oneness, during meditation, we can open ourselves up to greater wisdom, truth, and understanding. And this is also a time when we can be quiet and we can listen to that oneness and to the spirit that is within us. Within ourselves is always the truth and goodness that we are looking for. When we know this within ourselves, this inner perfection, which is health, vibrant aliveness, prosperity of every good thing, love, endless creative ideas, opportunities, when we can come to this realization as we meditate, the next thing that we can do is put out there to the universe the things that we desire. We put the desires of our heart out there. We state the truth of them as being true for ourselves. And to me, this is what I think of when I think of common sense meditation. So I'm going to read a quote from this fabulous book that we are studying in our little Sunday morning group, the Living the Science of Mind. This is like my new favorite book. I thought I had all the Ernest Holmes books, but I didn't have this one. It's interesting. Anyway, this is called in a little few lines from The Law That Is Within You. To think is to create. This is the key which opens the doorway to wisdom and power. That doorway is already within you. Somewhere within you, the mind of God reveals the truth that you were born free, that the will of God for you is one of goodness, truth, and beauty, and that all the power there is for you, and that all the will there is wills life. You are the image and likeness of this life. You are a personification of it. You are the personality of God. The kingdom of heaven is already within you, and the law of that kingdom is harmony, peace, and joy. All right, so let me close this book. If you will join with me now for spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, please accept this for yourself in the first person as I do this prayer, this treatment for myself. All right, just take a nice, slow, deep breath and just kind of relax into this moment, into this perfect presence that we call God. And as I do this, I just know and remember that this presence, this power, this life is everywhere around us. That we say that God is all there is, and we mean that. We mean that every atom, every person, every planet, every plant, everything that is around us is God, and all that is within us is also God. And as we know that all that there is God, that we know that we are animated, that I am animated by this life of God, this presence of love, of peace, of harmony, of goodness of every kind, is the truth of my being at the deepest level, that I am this spiritual perfection. And as I know that, and as I commune with that idea and meditate on that idea, I know that love, peace, harmony, great prosperity of every good thing, vibrant health, aliveness expresses outwardly in my life. As I know this truth within myself, I know that all is well in my world, in my life. So as I just know this, I just center myself in the belief of this, in the absolute certainty of it. As I know this, I take a moment to turn away from any idea that says that life has to be a struggle, that life is limited, or that there's any necessity of difficulty of any kind. I just turn away from that and instead know that I am divinely guided, directed, supported, loved, And by this presence attends to me in every way, in the most minute personal way, that this is my God, this is my presence, this is my life. So I'm just grateful for this. So I just release this treatment now, knowing that it is so, and so it is.
Get ready, get ready, my soul.
Get ready, my soul. You talked about closer to his source in the song. You can't get any closer to the source than where you are right now, because the source is nowhere else but within you. It's also everywhere else, but it's with you in each of us that we get more in touch with and connect more with the source. And we're going to start right off by diving in, just like I invited us to do. So I want to take you through a brief, probably 3 minutes or so, guided meditation. And if you are tuned in and like those, then travel right along with me. If not, then pick something to stare at in the room and stay with us, if you would, while we give you a chance to just be quiet within yourself and to demonstrate one style of common sense meditation. It is common sense to listen and share and talk with and get guidance from other people. I get guidance about my cell phone all the time from my grandkids. I mean, they know it. They're born with it. I'm still trying to learn it. So guidance is not as a normal way in which human beings connect. So I invite you to join me if you would like. So if you're taking a moment, close your eyes or let your vision drop down so that you aren't distracted by what's around you, and take a nice deep breath. And let it out. And another. And as you do, just allow yourself, your body, your being to settle in. Settle into yourself. Settle into this moment. Settle into the here and now. Here and now is what we have. So if you will, imagine with me that you're sitting in your favorite place. It might be your rocking chair at home, or a bench in the park, or a place that doesn't even exist in real life, in physical life, but it's very real inside of you. I have a place like that in North Carolina that I always go to. I haven't been there physically in a long time. So just let yourself settle into that place. Take a look around. See what you see. Smell the air there. Smell the aromas of nature, if you're in nature, or coffee brewing, or cinnamon cookies, whatever gives you that sense of safety and home and relaxation. And don't try to conjure it up, just let it pop up in your mind. Whatever shows up is the right thing. And as you settle comfortably here, bring your attention from your head, from where you're hearing my voice, gently down, really down your spinal cord. Your sense of where you're hearing is your I am. Your sense of where you're processing is your I am. So imagine it moving from your mind, that part of your mind at least is in your head, and slowly, slowly, like a slow elevator, dropping slowly down through your throat. Into your upper chest. And then right on down into your heart. And as you settle into your heart, recognize that there is your other center of consciousness, perhaps deeper and more profound than your head. So when you settle in your heart, take a look around. How flexible is it? How much is it moving? How easily is it pumping blood through your body and energy through your whole being? And now in another deep breath, as you exhale, imagine your heart expanding. For your heart is a metaphorical idea as well as a physical. So imagine the walls of your heart to stretch and grow outward in all directions, like a basketball getting bigger and bigger. If you feel any discomfort, just breathe into whatever discomfort there might be, releasing whatever the restrictions or strains might be. Breathing in flexibility. So that your heart expands out past your chest and past your rib cage, down deep below your knees, down to your feet, until it touches the heart of Mother Earth deep below you. Feel that connection of nurture and care. Everything in our bodies is a gift from Mother Earth. And now imagine the top of your heart stretching upward past your head, upward out into the other dimensions. Some would say up to the universal father, the universal director of all things. But even as it happens, you recognize that your knowing all of that is happening right in your own consciousness. So take a deep breath and just enjoy this place for a moment. If anything comes to you as a symbol or token, just make a note of it to remember it, to bring you back to this place. Then very gently begin to wiggle your toes, move your fingers, and perhaps stretch a little bit. When you're ready, you can open your eyes and return to the room and be present. Thank you, Judy, because I really appreciated your introduction to the common sense meditation. That wasn't particularly a common sense meditation because it was one with a very specific purpose and very specific process. But it's one that's so quick and easy to do. And it is one that you can just take that moment. I don't know how you're feeling right now, but I'm feeling much calmer and much more focused and much more grounded in myself. And those are just some of the benefits of any kind of meditation. There's some common sense meditation that we practice that we all do, whether we think of it as meditation or not. I don't know about you, but I love watching sunsets. Sunset, sunrise, especially if at the beach, watching that first burst of light and all the colors as it comes up, the same when it goes down, marking the end of the day. Standing and quietly watching that and just letting the experience of the beauty of it wash over me is a meditation. Now, again, we don't normally call it that meditation, but it's an open-eye meditation. If you're staring at something that you're maybe seeing but not seeing because your mind is there but you're expansive or expanding, that's a meditation. That's a common sort of meditation, common sense. So, Ernest Holmes, a founder of this wonderful teaching of ours, had a lot to say about meditation. It's all through the textbook, all through his other writings, where he talks about the idea of meditation in many different ways. He talks about it as the art of thinking less and receiving more. Because in meditation, once we get quiet and quiet in our chatterbox minds and our jabber minds, we can receive other feelings and thoughts and ideas from the infinite, because the infinite is already available within you. It's a way and a chance to connect with that and to know that. He goes on to say at one point that, meditation is the process of listening to the still small voice. What I love about that particular quote is it's based on the biblical quote about the still small voice. Well, the better translation of that is the voice of silence. Listening to the voice of silence. Because so much of the time, out of that silence, we'll get a brand new idea we hadn't thought of before. Or a brand new direction for where we want to go. Or whatever may come up as a result of the questions we're asking at any given time. And you say, well, what do we just do? Did we run away from life? We all went within and we got quiet. And my answer to that is, of course not. Holmes said it this way: meditation is not a means of escaping from life, but of becoming fully engaged in it. There's so much information out there about meditation and meditators and who meditates and who doesn't and what the values of that are. There's just lots of people, lots of talk about it. Deepak says the goal of meditation, Deepak Chopra, is not to control your thoughts. It's to stop letting them control you. I don't know about you, but I have times and have had times in the past, but still occasionally, where I get something going in my head. It's like a squirrel on a spinner in a cage, and it just won't shut up. It just goes and it goes. It goes. Usually it's about something I think I did wrong, or something somebody said to me, or something I think was not quite up to what it should be. I'm not living up to my own stuff. Or it's something I'm worrying about out there in the world. And then, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and beep, 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 beep. There it goes. On and on and on and on. So meditation is one of those great interrupters of all of that. And it doesn't happen immediately sometimes. Deep breaths, relaxing your body, getting into the moment is a way that you can begin to quiet down all that chatter. For me, in order to do that, I have to use a form of meditation known as mantra, because otherwise my brain will just keep right on going. I'll just be more relaxed while it's telling me all this nonsense that isn't true. And that doesn't help. But if I use a mantra is a word that is repeated over and over. And when I first start it, the other stuff still interrupts. One of the ones I use a lot, it's not from Sanskrit or any of those special woo-woo places. I mean, they're important. I'm not putting that down. But those special places where we get, you know, we get a mantra or we get various things that we use. It's a simple one. When I breathe in, God is. I breathe out, I am. God is. Yes, Bobby. Blip, 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 blip. No. God is. See, and instead of being upset and angry with yourself about your mind running all over the place, just keep gently inviting it back. Because see, it's its job to distract you. It's your mind's job, that particularly the ego part of our minds, to keep us safe in the world and to keep us in an okay place. And so when the chitter chatter starts, it's usually about something being off, something out of balance, something that needed to be fixed, or something we didn't fix, or whatever it is. What we know and what we can do with that is, again, to simply use that phrase and come back to it. And very gently, your chitter-chat mind, your ego mind, is your friend. In this meditation we did at the beginning, there's a much more extended version where we invite the ego in to the heart and embrace and love it. You know, ego gets a bad rap in a lot of spiritual teachings, but you got to have one. Otherwise, you'd be a jellyfish. You just wouldn't have any way to connect with anything, but your ego mind guides you and leads you and stands in front of you so much of the time in connecting with the world. But when you invite it into your heart, then your heart leads, and the ego can be right back there chatting in your ear to support you. So mantra is just one style of meditation. There are other mantras. Mantra meditation taken to its extreme and to the point where really amazing things happen is part of the yogic tradition. If you've read Diary of a Yoga by Yogananda, I have this wonderful CD set. I can still play it in my car. It's the only place. And it's the whole book read by an Indian person. So the accent's there, the voice is there. It is just beautiful to listen to. But in those books where he talks about mantric meditation, he tells of meditating for hours and hours and hours, and then seeing pretty amazing kinds of magical, what we would call magical things, where when you go and you sit in this energy and you sit in this energy, and then you get this place to this place where when you open your eyes, you see through walls, you see things it's not possible to do. I've experienced that once in a hotel where we were with a group of people meditating, and we did this energy work and meditation work for hours. And then towards the end, everybody was in this real joined kind of state. And our leader said, take a look. And we looked at the wall, which was the wall between the room we were in and the hallway. And you could not see who the people were, but I could see the energy forms going by. Because nothing is really solid. And if you spend enough time and enough, and you really want to do that, I've never done it again because I don't usually take that much time. But if you want to, we have amazing powers and abilities that go way beyond anything we can imagine. And because if this isn't really solid, it's mostly this wall is empty space with molecules that are locked into agreement about how about being a piece of wood and a wall. But you can learn, you can create the sensitivity to see through that to some degree. Meditation is a beautiful, powerful thing for that kind of exploration. You know, there's mindful breathing, just paying attention to your breath. Notice how it feels coming in and going out. How's it different? How does it smell? What does it feel like? That can calm your mind down. That can calm you down and bring you into focus. A body scan is an interesting way to do meditation. You can scan in your, close your eyes and feel your feet. Ah. Is there tension? Is there discomfort in your feet, in your legs, in your knees, in your back? Just scanning up through your body stops your chitter-chatter mind and helps you center and focus fully into who you are. See, we are not here to be disembodied spiritual beings. We are here to be spiritual beings in the body. We are here to enjoy all that the physical life has to offer us and do that richly and easily and freely. And body scans is a meditative way to bring ourselves back fully into that moment, that place. Guided imagery, which we just did for those who want to experience that at some point. And the one I enjoy talking about because years ago back at another center, I won't name it because if I do, there's some people listening out there who will know exactly who I'm talking about. But I had a student, a practitioner student, bright, brilliant, energetic, amazing person. I mean, I was so thrilled to have him as a student, as a practitioner student, because he was already manifesting and demonstrating all kinds of stuff. We got to the section on meditation where I'm trying to teach meditation and everybody's talking about it and we're doing different practices. And he just kept shaking his head. And finally he says, I just can't meditate. I never could. I can't stop my chatter mind. It will not be quiet enough for me to sit. See, I can't even sit quietly and not do anything And he was, it was right. He was like the Energizer Bunny. He was always up. We'd be in class and he'd be up at the back of the room doing something, but he's listening. He's participating. He just couldn't be still. And so we talked about a lot of options and about ways to do meditation, and the whole idea of walking meditation came up. One of the other students suggested that. And we talked about it a little bit. And he came back the next week so excited. He said, I've meditated every day this week. How did you do that? On the treadmill at the gym. He said, I put on earphones, so I had some nice music. I wasn't where I could see a TV screen, because, you know, many places in the gym where you're on a treadmill, they put the news in front of you. So here you are working on your developing your body and getting your energy going while you're watching negative stuff. But he found one of the treadmills that wasn't facing TV, and he picked a spot on the wall, and he walked. He always spent an hour a day on the treadmill. And he said it was the most amazing, powerful, calming thing for him. And that's how he meditated from then on. And so then he would do that and then go and sit down in the locker room or somewhere out of the way and do his treatment work. Because once he calmed his chatter mind down, he could do that. And it was such an exciting thing to see that, to hear that, to hear him wake up to the power of meditation, but not the way I could do it. Me meditate on the treadmill? I don't think so. I'm doing good to walk on the treadmill, much less do anything else. So, but it was for him, it was perfect. So all these different things we say about meditation, none of them may really be for you, or some part of one of them may be. You know, we are all in unique and different bodies. We're all having unique and different experiences. So meditation for one person is not for another. I have friends who the idea of watching the sunset just would make them scream and run out of the room. For me, that's a beautiful thing. So you find what works for your body, for your mind, for your way of being, by trying all kinds of different things. And if you wonder about what's available and how to do it, just Google it. Holy Moses. You'll have more things to read than you can get around to reading. And that's a cool thing. So it can be done individually. We've already demonstrated we can do it in a group. It can be done in smaller groups. There's just all kinds of ways to practice meditation. Now, what are the benefits? Let me just run down this list, because again, you can get this on Google, but I'm going to tell you anyway. There are physical benefits. It lowers your blood pressure. I meditate when I go into the doctor's office, when I'm especially the cardiologist, because I'm always driving over there in Atlanta traffic, which sends my blood pressure up. But if I get in the room and have time before, you know, during that time when they put you in the room and you wait and wait and wait and wait for the doctor, instead of sitting there getting frustrated about why am I wasting my time, I use that to meditate and to get quiet and calm. And I can bring my blood pressure down quite a lot by doing that. And I've actually had times where I would come in and they take it at the beginning. And then at that point, the doctor would do it again because it was high. And it would come back down to normal range. Meditation is a powerful tool for that. You can reduce pain. You can reduce inflammation in your body. You can enhances your immune system because it gets everything firing that needs to fire. It brings you into that central solid place. It'll increase your energy level. It may take a little while after meditation, but it'll get there. It improves your overall physical well-being. Mental. Reduces anxiety, depression, enhances focus and concentration, increases self-awareness. Boy, that's the truth. Absolutely. Improves memory and cognitive function. Some of us are looking forward to that and using that and practicing anything that will keep our cognitive functioning as long and as well and as good as possible. Reduces stress, improves resilience to stress, enhances creativity, problem-solving abilities, and on it goes. Emotional benefits, improves emotional regulation. It reduces negative emotions such as anger, fear, and jealousy. Yeah, that jealousy one sometimes is which wakes me up in the middle of the night. Why am I not as good as so-and-so? And why is our center not like theirs? Well, because we aren't. We don't want to be. But enhance positive emotions of happiness, compassion, gratitude, improves interpersonal relationships, and communication. Next time you're in something with somebody and you just have a thing going and you want to resolve it, before you talk to them, sit down and meditate for a while. Get really focused and centered. And then speak your feelings, your truth, your thoughts, your love, and watch how that's different than if you just charge right in while the brain is going 100 miles an hour. It's amazing. You have within you the knowledge, the wisdom of the infinite universe for all time. And meditation is a way that you can call that forward. Call the wisdom. Call, you just know that I know. Something in me knows the right thing to say at the right moment. And meditation will put me in a space where I can trust that in myself. I don't have to pre-plan what I want to say to somebody. In fact, when I do that, it usually backfires. But if I just allow from a centered, grounded place, it can make all the difference. So meditation is a process of transforming the mind. It's a technique for refining and perfecting our preconceptions. That's from Joseph Goldstein. So this divine power, all of this that's coming up within us, is available to us anytime. And I want to leave you with the George Bernard Shaw, who says this. This is the true joy of life. Being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself. Used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty purpose. The being is that you are a force of nature. Instead of, and I won't give you the rest of that quote because I don't want to hear it. It's instead of all the other alternative things. You are a force of nature. We are nature beings. What happens in our body and the way meditation works is a natural thing. And you can bring forth the power and goodness of your manifestations and treatments, which we'll talk about next week in our prayers, more powerfully. If you've meditated first. And you can do that. So can I. So it is. Thank you. So Vance is coming up to talk to you about the main wonderful things he talks about, like how we're going to keep, how we keep this place afloat and keep it going, and what you can do to help us. If you're liking what we're doing, Vance will tell you how to help.
Dr. Bob, an awesome talk. I stayed awake for that meditation. A lot of times I go deep and I'm not present after that. So I was here. So for you that fall asleep during meditation, you're not alone. But you come back out of it really relaxed and rested. So I'm going to talk about our affirmation of prosperity, and we'll do that, and then I'll talk a little bit after that. So if you would with me say our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. So time, talent, and treasure are the three things that we have to give. And what we talk about here, and you can use the QR code to donate online. You can go to cslmidtown.org/donate and go right into the donation system. You can do a one-time gift or set up an ongoing gift. And if you're like me and what we've done in this class that we just finished, your income's going up and down because I'm commission-based. And it's been going up, and so my donations have been going up because of that. So treatment works, and what we do works. So we would really love to have more people helping us do everything we do, whether it's helping set up, tear down, technically, administratively. If you've got talent and things in that area that you would love to share your time with, your talent with, we would love to hear from you. So on the website, you can email Dr. Bob. Any one of us, get out, reach out, let us know how we can help you serve us. With that, Thank
Beautiful.
You, Dr. Bob.
Thank you. All right. He does that so well, right? So we always say we are a prosperous center, and we are. We are very prosperous, and we need to be more prosperous if we're going to maintain and continue to grow and do the things that we do. So we're looking for a prosperity of new people, a prosperity of inflow of folks who can be introduced to this teaching. So if you've got a friend, bring him or invite him to your house to sit in your living room and drink coffee while we do this, wherever and however that works. This is such a powerful, important message. We need, and I want us to get it out to the world. One more thing. We're having a birthday. You know, you thought you did that in March, right? Well, we did. We had a birthday celebration for the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, and we celebrated 11 years. Well, in the first Sunday in May, we're having a birthday party for Dr. Bob becoming your minister 5 years ago. I've been here 5 years. Can you believe it? Of course, a big chunk of that, we were all holed up in our houses. But plan to be here. I'd love to see as many of you as you can make it here in person. We'll have a potluck, so start thinking now what you'll bring. I'm not sure exactly the parts that we will do, but we'll have that figured out and announce it before that first Sunday in May. But plan to be here. It's going to be an exciting and fun party, and we'll have time to sit around the tables and talk and make up stories or tell stories that are true, whichever way it works, and the chance to be in fellowship. We thoroughly enjoyed that for our center birthday, and I think we'll enjoy it for this birthday. So let's join together in our closing, and it is the affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.